This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, you all set over there?
I think. I don't know.
Well, it's been an interesting week, to say the least.
Yeah, very interesting as the events of the previous day has unfolded before us here.
Oh,
man.
Let us not repeat.
Amen. Anyway, this is a gardening show. We're not going to do any news updates for you. But I talk about some things in your garden and what you could do and, your landscape or anything like that. But questions are welcome. And if you want to call, 673-4464 and ask your question. And it doesn't have to be about what I'm talking about. It can be about your zucchini plant overtaking your entire yard and what do you do about it. And you take a tank in there and, rip it up with the tank. But, any part. You got trees, you got shrubs, you got sprinklers, lawns, vegetable garden. And that's what I'm going to concentrate a bit on today is the vegetable garden and, how to do it right and increase your productivity in your garden by about 10,000% if you do it correctly. So, anyway, again, questions, 673-4464.
We got a call.
And we'll get right on with the first call.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Winters, for taking my call.
You're sure welcome.
I have a question.
I hope so.
I have a, what I call a purple plum tree.
A purple plum tree?
Well, it has the purple leaves, and in the spring it has the real...
pink flowers.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Right.
Okay. The leaves on the tree are turning green.
Yeah, well, how old is it and how long has it been in?
It's been in probably at least 25 years.
Oh, no problem then.
Yeah, it's an old tree, so yeah. I can't... And this has never happened before, so I don't understand what's going on.
Well, you need to get out there and pet the trunk a little bit and tell it, don't turn color on me. I'm confused. You stay the same color you were. And pat it.
Okay.
And pat it three times and then walk away from it. No, that happens at times. The weather plays a large part in leaf coloration, flower coloration, how long flowers last is weather affected, how trees grow, what color the leaves are. There's always some effects in nature that do that, but don't be alarmed. It's okay. It's a healthy tree. If it's been in that long, it's not going anywhere. It just wanted a change of wardrobe. How's that?
Okay, well... I guess that's as good an answer as any.
Well, I honestly don't know why it would go from purple to green. I usually they'll come out kind of a dark green and then turn to purple and stay purple or burgundy the whole season long. But occasionally, they'll have mixed or matched colors. Keep an eye on it. Don't do anything that you wouldn't do to it if don't water it, don't fertilize it, don't mess with it, just look at it and from day to day. And if you see any other radical changes in it, give me a call next week and say, oh, this is what happened. All the leaves turned yellow and pink or something like that. And,
okay.
And
gotcha.
Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Hey, you're supposed to be the expert here, remember?
I know, but sometimes experts don't know much.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Different color pollinators, maybe?
I don't know. I've never encountered that phenomenon before, and... all I can think of is it's weather related in some way.
Oh, yeah.
From maybe it's a heat thing, or maybe we had.
It's been very hot.
So yeah, last week or so.
Yeah.
So there may be a change happening there, mm-hmm. And it's a part of the tree's
defense
mechanism or something like that. So yeah. Maybe some of the red leaves are starting to wilt or do something, and there's new green ones coming, and it'll happen. I mean, there's a lot, you know, plants can do their own thing. I mean, you know, you expect a plant to do such and such, and it does not do what you thought it would do. Or
much like humans.
Much like humans, yeah. Or, you know, I way back when I'd buy this plant or that plant when I was first starting out. And, you know, what's this do? Oh, it'll do this, this, and this, and this. And I'd take it home, plant it, and just watch it. And it didn't do exactly what that person told me it would do. And I thought, did I get the wrong plant? Or did it have the wrong name on it or something like that? But I think there's a weather effect or a climate effect that has something to do with leaf coloration. You know, it's strange. If it's that old, that big, and it's always had red leaves, why all of a sudden we got some green ones?
I don't know. I change color when I get old.
I notice you're green.
Yes.
Yeah, you used to be real dark red. Oh, gosh, it's amazing. But if anybody else has another question, please call 673-4464. And we can talk about your red leaf tree turning green or pink or whatever problem
UFOs,
you might have.
Yeah.
UFOs in the garden and how to get rid of them. It's anyway, it's the middle of July already, if we can believe it. Actually, it's a couple of days past the middle of July, isn't it? Oh, gosh.
What are we, the 17th?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Where in the world does this time go? It was just January or February or something like that, you know?
And we were in the middle of a rainstorm.
Yeah, right. Our garden at home has already produced more tomatoes than I want to eat. Every night I eat sliced tomatoes, thinking that...
Oh, you poor baby.
Yeah, we're about to run out. But no, they just keep popping out, you know? And every night my wife is up there... Oh, here's six more tomatoes. And I go, how many plants you got up there?
Yeah.
So, no, four or something like that. Not very many. Because we want to use what is produced, not have to can them, store them, or freeze them, or anything, that kind of thing. And but anyway, this has been a great growing season for gardens. And the tomatoes, of course, that she picks, they're delicious and, like, fresh off the vine. And,
well, you've taught her well.
Oh, no. I think her dad taught her well when she was, like, six or something like that. Her dad was a very avid gardener, and so was her mom. They always had a great garden. Every time we go down to visit them, they lived just south of Susanville and north of Reno off of Highway 395 out in that high desert country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, man, he could grow a garden like nobody's business. And he planted plants everywhere, not just in one little garden spot, but he had them along by his hedge. He had them on in a planter box near the house. I mean,
wherever they would grow.
Yeah, well, they would grow anywhere he put them.
Otherwise,
he'd pull them out and put something else in there. But geez Louise, he was a fantastic gardener. And anyway, we only have five plants, and they produce more tomatoes than our little family now can eat.
You had that problem out last year.
I know, and I say, hey, don't put so many stinking tomatoes in there. But I think that three plants would have been quite enough, but my wife has to plant more. Help, help, help. Zucchini. Zucchini is another high-producing vegetable. And my wife cooks it in very interesting ways, usually with fried onions, which is actually fairly good. And you know, hot butter, fried onions, chopped zucchini, and you fry it all together. Salt, a little bit of pepper, maybe some garlic salt.
All that good healthy stuff.
Is anybody hungry yet? But it's really good. I mean, plain old zucchini that you just boil and then put it on the plate is not very appetizing. There are better ways to eat zucchini. But I eat enough vegetables all summer that I don't have to eat another vegetable all winter. And usually my wife's very picky about the vegetables in the winter because not too many stores have fresh vegetables.
Right. No, they don't.
Not local fresh vegetables.
And if they do, they're sky high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Zucchinis, $5 a piece. Come on and get one. Yeah. But we have a great growing season here in Douglas County. It starts about, you know, about April, mid-April or so in there, and lasts till about the end of October. on an average. Our growing season is usually like 6 months long at least for most vegetables. And you could grow, really, you could grow two crops every year because of our mild climate. You could put some in April, be harvesting in June, and already have planted your next batch, in which we'd be starting to harvest in August and September. So if you do it right, you can have your fresh vegetables 6 months a year at least, minimum. And
nice.
Yeah, it is. And not only to save a few bucks at the grocery store, but, you know, they're better. They taste better.
Sure
they're
do.
Not
oh,
they're
yeah.
not treated with, you know, Roundup or anything. They're just...
God knows what.
Yeah, whatever else they spray on the commercial stuff, you know. It's and they're just so much better, and they're so much fresher because you go out and pick them, and an hour later you're eating them. And put a little bit of salt and maybe a touch of mayonnaise if you want, and get fancy there, and you just eat them right up. But... like I said, our gardening season is usually at least six months long, minimum. And you could grow two crops every year because of our mild climate. So if you want to have some fresh vegetables and it isn't too late, it's not too late to plant now and have another crop in 2 months, easy in 2 months. And that's what's cool about Douglas County and southern, you know, southwestern Oregon. Mm-hmm. You probably could do that somewhat in Portland and north of here too, but I'd say Roseburg south to about Ashland is probably more conducive to growing double gardens than maybe to the north, and definitely not to the east over in Bend. You know, it could in Bend it could be 75 one day and a storm come in there and it's six degrees or something like that. Or maybe even some snow. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Instantly.
Instantly. Where did all that come from? I don't know. Well, I don't know how I got here either. But
Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot brought it. Bigfoot Brothers brought it. How's that? But vegetable gardens, you know, It's good. It's good fresh food. That's the thing it seems like our society is harping on and going toward more, and I think that's good. And even if you live in an apartment house, you usually have a balcony or a porch or something that you could put big old pots of tomatoes or peppers or, you know, whatever. Even a zucchini out there. Jeez Louise.
Put it in the china vine.
Yeah, and you know, onions or any small growing vegetable, actually. Probably watermelons are too big, but small plants will do well and won't overtake your shrubs if you put them in amongst shrubs, and you can. And, of course, potted plants is going to work easier with less work because there's not that much territory that you have to weed around each individual plant. They're great. Container gardens are great for beginners because it's much less labor and it's easier to take care of year-round or the growing season. And in a large pot, you can plant like three tomatoes and supply your family for months on three tomato plants. People don't understand or realize that one tomato is a non-stop producing machine. It just doesn't bloom and then all of a sudden there's some tomatoes and then there's no more.
Done.
You go out there and you pick the edible ones that are mature and ripe and all that, and yeah, you see a few little squirrely ones coming on, but you don't pay any attention. Go out there 3 days later, and those guys are ready to go. Excuse me, but they're just a great easy garden plant to have, and usually everybody likes them. You got your hand on the button. What's that mean?
It's time for a break.
Okay, I'll be back with more gardening things.
And the phone number.
Oh yeah, 673-4464 is our number.
There you go. We'll be right back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, let's go straight to our phone call. And good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon, Mike and Dale. It's so good to hear you guys back together again. You know,
thank you.
You can see us?
I feel that certainly you can take on the road and be famous someday.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, this is Tom Nelson calling.
Tom Nelson, old buddy. How are you, bud?
Yeah. So anyway, with this drought and everything and the hot weather, yeah. I've got two cypress trees mm-hmm. that are probably 50 to 60 feet tall. Oof. And both of them, about now I'm looking at them 10 feet from the top, things are starting to turn pretty brown.
Uh-huh.
Is that a beetle issue or what?
Well, I don't know that it's a beetle. Do you see any like at ground level when you're looking at the bark? Do you see any holes, a whole bunch of little holes in the bark or anything like that?
I don't. Well, I haven't looked at them. I'll go out and look at them. And...
Yeah, but no, that the beetles, if they were going to attack your tree, they would at ground level or eye level. You'd see holes, like little bullet holes.
So it'd be like the bottom up getting brown?
Exactly. And, see, maybe not the bottom up, but they hook into the cellular structure that takes the nutrients to the top of the tree. And,
yeah.
And so they're sucking them dry, and therefore there's new nutrition getting to the top of the tree. And so consequently, the top of the tree the leaves start to die and leaves yellow up and stuff like that. And it's because they've cut off the blood flow, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah. And one way to stop that right now is to get a tree spray and spray the bottom of the tree. Wherever you see any holes or anything like that, and you may not stop at all, but you'll stop a new influx that are trying.
So that might save the tree.
Exactly. And how tall did you say the tree was?
They're like 60 to 70 feet.
Wow. And well, here's another thing too. You maybe you should call a tree surgeon just to come over and take a look at it and see if it's salvageable. If not, just let it go. And if you stop the bug advance, there may be new leaves that come out, fairly early on here in another couple of weeks that will take care of all the ones that have died. That's the only thing I can think of at this point, because normally trees, that's what happens. The bugs go for the juice and they go up the tree that way.
Okay. The other thing that we bought this house it was built back in probably 2004, so it's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And the sprinkler system they used, when they put the sprinkler system in, they used the lighter gauge PVC pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got so many breaks in that line right now, and rather than I guess try and fix the breaks, probably should be something that just is redo the whole thing.
My suggestion would be to redo the whole thing, but make sure you buy the super heavy duty sprinkler pipe for underground irrigation, because that lighter pipe, it's very thin walled. And constant pressure, water pressure on it, eventually starts to break it down because it's just not tough enough to do the job for you.
Yeah. Okay. And you can probably develop a plan for me?
I probably could, yes. Yes.
I'll give you.
But
and of course,
go ahead.
We wouldn't do anything now. Obviously, you want to start digging the trench and stuff when the soil has more moisture to it and it's easier to dig.
Yeah, that would be a real joy to do it that way, other than with a pick and a shovel. How large is the sprinkler system?
What's that?
How large is the sprinkler system? Is it in your entire yard or what?
Yeah, it's pretty large. And mm-hmm. the thing is, I think they made it too complicated by putting in too many stations.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how much sprinkler systems have changed over 20 years, mm-hmm. but would the new sprinkler head type of thing be able to push water out further than what it does, what it may have done back?
Yeah, there's so many improvements that it's not even close to being the same. And the pipe is a lot stronger, and you buy the real tough sprinkler pipe, and you put heads on there that can shoot 20 feet, for crying out loud.
Wow.
So you can space them out quite a bit and get good coverage. And is it just for the lawn, or is it for lawn and shrubs, or what?
Lawn and shrubs.
Mm-hmm. How long have those shrubs been in?
20 years.
20 years. They probably don't.
And more than that, we have some really tall trees.
Uh-huh.
And I like that because of the shade.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
But
on average, how much do you water? How often per week do you water?
Oh, it would be probably once a day or 10 to 15 minutes each station.
Yeah. Well, that's need to show you a better way. If you do the sprinkler system correctly, you probably have to only water maximum twice a week in the hottest part of the summer. And the materials back then were not quite as advanced as the materials now, unless you got metal pipe and metal heads and. But the improvements in sprinkler parts is like the space age, way advanced, way better.
Okay.
But here's the deal.
Good.
Here's the deal.
Well, thanks.
I'll give you my home phone. How's that?
Okay.
679-4100.
Okay.
And if you call me in the evening, we can get your address and all that and make a date just to look at it initially, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. 679-4100.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Tom. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Take care, Dale.
You too. How's retirement going for you?
Oh, just Jim Dandy, broken sprinkler heads and broken pipes. It's just Jim Dandy.
It never ends.
Sounds like my retirement, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
All righty. We'll talk at you later.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh. In the middle of the summer, to start having sprinkler problems is not what you want.
No.
It's not your thing there.
It's like when the AC breaks. Same thing, in the middle of the summer.
99 degrees on the front porch, But... anyway, I was talking about growing small vegetable gardens and, probably watermelons. And then I was thinking about pots. Some people don't have
pots, not pot. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not talking about pot. some people have small yards. They don't want to put what small yard they have in their vegetables or... so you got containers. There's a large selection of... plastic, heavy-duty plastic containers on the market that you can buy, and you fill them with good potting soil, and you plant 3 to 4 tomatoes in each one, and 3 to 4 onions, or whatever you like, and you just select if first time doing this, just select maybe 3 or 4 or 5 pots, and put some things in it, and just see how it works, and. That way you don't have to mess with a big garden, and it's a whole lot, like I say, easier, faster, and you can grow just as many vegetables in those pots as you can in the ground. So that's one thing to consider. Watermelons won't work, okay? Things like that. Corn.
Keep it large,
I tried corn one year in a...
How'd that turn out?
They grew, but they didn't produce anything.
They got
up there about 4 feet tall, and they started looking pretty ratty.
I thought
it ain't going to work.
Just teasing you.
I know. So I go to BroSci and buy corn.
Do they have it yet?
Oh, yeah. I think my wife brought home a bunch of it last week.
Maybe
she got it somewhere else. I don't know. But usually she shops at BroSci because it's closest to us.
And it's good.
Oh, good stuff. Old BroSci, he grows the good stuff. And container gardens are great for beginners, and like I said, much less labor. And, you know, like in a large pot, you plant three tomatoes or three peppers, and you can supply your family for months with those three tomatoes, trust me. And don't plant them all on the same day, because they all start pushing on the same day.
Sure.
Plant one on a Monday, and then wait a week and plant another one, and then wait another week and plant another one. That way, at least you space out your productivity activity.
It's kind of like having twins.
I know. Now, and potatoes will work in pots. They work really well in pots, and it's easier to harvest them as well. And any pot that you should be using should be at least 18 inches in diameter and that deep. If you get a bigger pot, you can, of course, put more plants in it. And it just depends on how much of a garden you want to be growing, how much you're going to actually eat and not waste. And because there are so many, you know, you got cruises and all these other places, BroSize, that have fresh vegetables. You know, once that kicks in, baby, it is just, bam, it's going all the time. And across the street from the nursery I used to own, it was Burke's Blue Fruit Stand.
Oh, that was a good place.
Oh, that was a great place. That thing was buzzing like Safeway every day.
Best cantaloupe.
Oh, gosh, he had good produce. He was a great, great farmer. He did such a great job all the time. But if you do any of this, and you, like I say, this is for first-timers. I'm not talking about expert gardeners who have done it for 30 years or whatever, and they think, what's he telling me this stuff for? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the guy and the gal who just got married here last year, and they want
they're
a garden.
From California.
And they're from New York, California, wherever, and they want to know how to get this done because they're in a perfect place to grow these things. So just think about it. And there are books, of course, on vegetables, how to grow them, at any of these box stores, and they go from there. You got your hand on the trigger.
Well, it's break time already.
Okay, we'll be back. Thanks for listening.
Phone number
673-4464 if you have a question.
You got it. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Man, that guy's got a good voice, didn't he?
Yeah.
I wish I had one like that.
Me too.
We're back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Do you need to make that announcement about the fire?
No, at 5 o'clock.
Oh, I see.
We'll do that then.
Okay. Anyway, I've been talking about gardening in general, and then gardening in pots to, you know, for the first-timer or the person who doesn't want to do a lot of weeding, bending over and laying in the dirt for a half a day, just making sure the weeds didn't come up. But I found out that over the years, most first-time gardeners start with too large of an area. Mm-hmm. I know I did. I mean, you know, you plant too many things, and as a result, you have too much food to harvest all at once.
Well, you got to make sure something grows, you know.
Oh, yeah, you really. It's not going to grow right, and you only get 3,000 of them. Oh, geez, Louise. But start small. If you've never done it before, start small. You know, something maybe 10 by 10 garden. You'd be amazed at how much you can grow in a 10 by 10 garden, you know, if you plant everything pretty close and keep them good. We've got our raised planter boxes. The big one is probably 2.5 feet tall and 30 feet long. And we've got more food than what we can possibly eat just from that one. Then we got another one right beside it, a smaller one.
A twin.
And then there's some things in the ground, too. But it's amazing what that does. But, of course, it's filled with premium soil and good stuff.
Yeah.
And fertilized well and watered well. All, you know, good drainage.
So well taken care of.
Yeah, the whole nine yards, baby. And I think I think we have five. I'm thinking of those tomatoes again. I am so tired of tomatoes.
I could almost taste them.
Well, I'll bring them in next week. I'll give you a basket full.
That's what you said last year. You never did.
I know. My wife made me eat them all, okay? I'll just blame it on her.
But thank you in advance if you do.
If I remember, I will bring you some, okay?
Deal.
That's the only thing I can say. But as I was saying, most first-time gardeners, they start with too big of an area, plant too many things, and a result have too much food to harvest all at once, and they go, what do I do? I don't know. And I know that for a fact because I was one of those guys that did that a long time ago.
I think we all did.
I think we all did. And by the time you start to harvest stuff and it's all coming on at once, like all the tomatoes or all the zucchinis, oh, God. More than one zucchini should be against the law.
Absolutely.
Nobody, unless you got a special permit, you can't buy more than one zucchini.
Yeah, you got a permit to do that.
Yeah. I mean, they would take over the world for crying out loud. But, I've done that. I've been, goodness. That's why I built raised beds and reduced my planting area considerably. And it's a lot less work and very little waste. And it's easy to harvest. And it's the boxes are, 2.5 feet tall, 4 feet wide. And you can harvest and plant from either side. You don't have to be kneeling on the ground. You don't have to be stooping way over or digging with a shovel. You can the soil is so good, you can stick your hand in it. And you can bury your hand up to your wrist. I mean, that's the kind of soil I got in there. And if you do it that way, you have very high productivity in whatever you plant. The first year I made a mistake, and I planted some corn in there at one end, and I put it on the sunny end, right, the end that would have more sun. Well, the problem was the corn didn't do real well in those boxes. Oh. And the plants that were next to the corn didn't do real well because the corn was shading them.
Shading it. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So, consequently, I've not planted more corn in my boxes. I guess it would work. I thought, well, maybe if I did it on the other end where there were no little small plants. You know,
change of location.
Yeah, change of location. And maybe the corn seed is bad. I don't know.
Yeah, blame it on the seed.
Yeah, well, I can't remember where I bought it from.
Don't say.
it was in my toolbox for about 8 years, and I plant these things.
Well, it should have been well fermented.
Yeah, they should have been. Yes, but if you're wondering how to get started in this gardening business and you've never done it before, there are books out there that you can read with illustrations, with a lot of the same verbiage that I have been discussing. And don't worry, it's not too late. It's only the middle of July. And we've got all of July, all of August, all of September, and at least half of October. So we've got... we got warm weather for 2.5-3 months yet. And that stuff is going to grow. And now, if you help your neighbor plant their garden, it will teach you a whole bunch of things if you've never planted a garden before. And your neighbor will appreciate your help. Say, hey, Bob, can I come over and help you on your garden a little bit? And they say, sure. And they show you what they do, and they've been successful over the years, and you've watched them be successful. And they always grew a fantastic garden. That's a great way to learn something right off the bat. Oh, man. And the neighbors, they actually love the help, and you can gain a lot of knowledge firsthand right there. And then the following spring, you can do your own and be a success. Or rather than, half the garden grew and half didn't, why did I do? Well, you would have the hands-on knowledge that I should have done this or I should do this and make sure that I've done it all correctly.
Now you know.
Yeah, that first garden can be as small as 10 by 10. 10 foot, it can be a raised bed, 10 by 10 spot. Don't overwork it because a garden is too big. After a while, it gets to be dreary. And some of it just kind of goes by the wayside, if you will.
It's a waste.
Yeah. And make sure it's in a sunny sunny spot. Don't overplant and only plant the things that you like to eat. You know, I don't care if your wife says, "Oh, I like
spinach.
I love spinach." Don't plant any. I wouldn't plant any spinach. My wife does.
Oh, does she?
Oh gosh, yes.
Does it really grow here?
Oh yeah, it grows in lettuce and all that kind of stuff. She gets out there, and the next thing I know, the place is filled with plants and
all that green stuff.
All that green stuff. Yeah, look at that. But just plant those things you like to eat. For instance, 10 squash plants is 8 too many.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Be conservative. And once you've done it, you can get better at it, seeing the process that you went through and the results that you got. Hey, I like that. I can increase my size of gardening, or I can increase the different types of vegetables, because I really didn't need 17 tomato plants. I only needed 4. one squash plant way on the end of the garden, so it could grow in a direction that wouldn't interfere with other plants in the garden. A squash plant, they're so tough. If you want to get rid of them, you can't. You have to get in there with a backhoe and dig them up or something like that.
They got to be related to that China vine.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Anybody that grows squash got to be from China.
Oh, you got to get us taken off the air.
I'm not. I don't work here. Oh, gosh. But don't produce more tomatoes or peppers or whatever that you want to eat. And because, like I said earlier, every night I eat sliced tomatoes, and like we're never about to run out, but they just keep popping up on every night. There's more tomatoes, yep. And they're delicious. Don't get me wrong, they're delicious. They're fresh off the vine, like 20 minutes earlier or something like that. And that's only with 5 plants. You know, they're an incredible vegetable, and they, as my wife says, they're healthy. Mm-hmm. I know, I've heard that before 10,000 times. But if you're just starting out, you might want to get 1 or 2, and that's it. 1 or 2 of this, 1 or 2 of that, just to see how they produce, how they grow, how big they get. And then that way, when you see these things happening, you can begin to make plans for the next year and the next spring. And if your neighbor's an avid gardener, you can watch his or hers grow and see how that gets all filled up. And, you know, when I lived up on Leland Street, it seemed like everybody had a garden. Old Harry Hill, who had Hill's Shoe Shop, he lived right across the street from me. Mm-hmm. Old Harry would come over in my old yard and look at it, and you're going to have a garden, Mike? And I said, well, I hope so, Harry. And he'd take me over and show me his, and he had stuff all over the place. He was good at it. He'd been only there for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Just a beginner.
He was just a young beginner, right?
Yeah.
I was in my 20s, and he was in his 50s, you know. So, I learned a few things from him, and that was a good thing. I think that zucchini is another high-producing vegetable.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah. And my wife, thankfully, cooks it in very interesting ways, usually sometimes with fried onions mixed in there. It's very good that way with some garlic, salt, and pepper, and, it's flavorful. If you just boil a zucchini, slice it up, and eat it, ain't much taste there, baby.
It's kind of tough and slimy.
Yeah, slimy is a good word for it, yeah. But so I eat enough vegetables all summer that I don't have to eat another vegetable all winter. You know, that's what's cool about it. But my wife keeps buying the stuff and bringing it home. And so,
does she ever make zucchini bread?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, I like it if it's made.
Yeah. Oh, she's got her mother was Italian and made zucchini bread all the time. And so Marianne learned from her mother.
Nice.
And when the weather breaks and it starts to get cooler, she'll do this zucchini bread, or she might pop some in next month. I don't know. but it's excellent. And it comes hot out of the oven.
And you slice it
and put some butter on her, and that butter melts in. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got to take a break.
Is this a cooking show?
Yes. my stomach's saying, feed me.
If you have a question, 673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, zucchini bread and all, we're back.
I'm sorry, I don't have any. Oh, zucchini bread that's toasted?
Oh, I don't think I've had it that way.
Oh, yeah, you know, got to fit in the toaster.
Uh-huh.
And so you slice it with a sharp knife and put it in the toaster and... comes out of there and you put some of that butter on.
Oh,
there.
The real butter.
Real butter, baby. And it is delicious. It's a meal unto itself. Yes. I'm talking about a lot of food here.
Yes.
I hope nobody's hungry out there.
It's about that time.
Yeah. So, but we have a, you know, really great growing season here in Douglas County. You know, it starts, about April, mid-April, and lasts till about the end of October. I've had stuff growing in October. I've had stuff growing clear into November, depending on the weather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that our growing season is usually 6 to 7 months long for most vegetables. And, you know, when people move here from other parts of the country, they don't understand how good we have it until they're here for a while.
And the ones that are here, like me, we take great for granted sometimes.
Yeah, that's why you don't grow a garden, huh? Boy. But, you could put in most vegetables that you put in, you could grow in probably two crops every year if you did them early enough and kept them in late enough. So if you want to have fresh vegetables and it isn't too late to plant now and have a crop in like 2 months, you know, because we got
great.
Yeah. What's today's date? 17th of July.
Yep.
Okay. So if you planted them on this week sometime, you'd have some of your first veggies by the end of August for sure.
Wow. Yeah. That's quick.
And then the longer growing types, you got all of September and, not a problem. Just plant them.
And by September, we usually get a little rain, so you don't have to water as much.
Right, but it's still not cold.
Right, right.
And
yep.
The cold is the killer. Mm. Yeah, that's the rain is good, but
not the freeze,
not the snow, not the white stuff. So if you want to have fresh vegetables, it's not too late to plant now. Like I say, hey, you can have a crop in 2 months. And we've had a few warm days this past week.
Just a few.
But with proper watering, you could, like I say, be eating those fresh things in less than 2 months. It's in the fall, even if it's like mid-September, you can still put some of these hardier materials in. And they can be planted if you can find them around. Otherwise, you have to use seed, and it takes a little bit longer. Excuse me, but it'll work. Boy, man, it's dry in this studio.
It is.
But what you want to do is do an experiment and test the weather, and you may be surprised. You know, we've had. Like I say, tomatoes and peppers ready to eat by mid-October. Usually, any killing frost doesn't hit our area till maybe mid-October, or usually more like in November at the earliest. And if you planted the original garden, say, in mid-April, it's producing big, by now, very big, all the way through mid-July. So to extend your growing season, plant now, and you can see the results in July and August. And our climate is considered mild, and it is mild, until about mid-November, and even beyond sometimes. I've seen some very nice November days. I mean, you know, 60 degrees and the sun was shining.
But then again, we've had snow on Thanksgiving,
yes,
too.
Yes, we have. So. I remember those days, too, baby.
Yeah.
But just make sure wherever you plant, you have plenty of sun, you know, because the sun starts going lower.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just feels colder.
Yeah, and there's not as much many hours per day with the sun as there once was.
Yeah.
And so that's a consequence. And another thing I love is potatoes. Oh, gosh. We have already harvested some, but the longer they grow and the later they grow, and the larger they get in the ground and mature. And the longer, like I say, they stay in the ground, oh, I don't know. Marianne's already yarded out half a dozen potato plants. And they're good. They're, you know, probably bigger than a, well, they're like a small baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, baseball size. I was trying to figure out.
Or a football. And, not as big as a football.
No, not quite. We're going to leave some in the ground and get some footballers here. But and the longer they can stay in the ground, the larger they get. And they can actually winter over. You can keep them in the ground all the way through the winter and take them out of the ground when you want to eat them.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And that's in a well-drained soil. So if it's been raining, it's been cold, so what? The top of the plant dies to the ground.
Right.
But the potatoes are in the ground.
In the
ground. They're buried in there. So you take out and shovel them up, and you got... 5 pounds of potatoes there per plant or something like
nice
that.
Nice and fresh.
Yeah, very fresh. And they're not rotted and they're not, you know, they're good
buggy
to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no bugs. No bugs, my friend. So, and potatoes are so easy to grow. They're like a weed. Once you put them in, they just go, baby. and they just look good. They're fresh. Make great French fries. Great fried potatoes with onions.
With a little tartar sauce.
Yeah.
You don't like tartar sauce?
Oh, yeah. I like it on certain things, not potatoes.
Well, that's going to do it.
That's going to do it. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and I always enjoy doing this show, and I'll see you next week, okay?
Yeah, it's been a fun show today.
Good.
Stay tuned for the afternoon report next. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's coming up to 5 o'clock.